The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 9. A shoot shall come up out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the whole of the ASP, of the asp, sorry, and the weaned child shall put its hands on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And the second reading is from Matthew 5, verses 5 to 6. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is the word of the Lord.
It's really lovely to be here with you this morning. I'll thank Carl for his invitation next time I'm in contact with him. But thank you all for your welcome, and particularly thank you to Monique for looking after me both here and down the road earlier on. May the words of my lips and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When things go wrong, it's rather tame to find that we are ourselves to blame. It gets the trouble over quicker if you can blame things on the vicar. For what's a vicar really for, except to cheer us up? What's more, he shouldn't ever, ever tell if there is such a place as hell. To preach on Sunday is his task, and lend his mower when we ask, and organise our village fates, and sing at Christmas with the waits, and in his car to give us lifts, and when we quarrel, heal the rifts. To keep his family alive, he should industriously strive in that enormous house he gets. And he should always pay his debts, for he has quite £6 a week. And when we're rude, he should be meek and always turn the other cheek. That's part of a great poem by John Betjeman. It's a little bit dated, as you might be able to tell. Unfortunately, the enormous houses have been sold off. £6 a week doesn't go very far nowadays, although I think it has gone up a little bit, even for curates. Is that right, Monique? and some vicars are female as well. And I'm sure you're never rude to Carl, but perhaps if you are, I'm sure he's always meek and turning the other cheek. Blessed are the meek, said Jesus, for they will inherit the earth. I'm sure somewhere on the internet you can find a list of the top qualities of successful people. I have a feeling that meekness isn't among them. In common English, people think of being meek as being a doormat, being overly timid, weak, and frankly not much use. But what does Jesus mean when he describes the meek? Who are these people? What does this word really mean in its context in the Bible? As is often the case when we try to translate a word from one language to another, it isn't easy to convey all the range of meaning in a single word. The word meek or meekness doesn't actually come very up many times in English translations of the Bible, only around about 8 times. I say around 8 times because that depends a little bit on how the particular translators chose to translate the word. We've read 2 of them this morning in Isaiah, about the deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. And then in our reading from Matthew's Gospel, of course, this beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's a few other occasions when the same Greek or Hebrew word gets translated by something other than meek in an attempt to bring out an aspect of the meaning. And I just like to think about a few of the different aspects of meanings of that word meek this morning. I think it's a wider and broader meaning than we so often imagine. First and foremost, it's a word that does mean the poorest and the neediest people of the world. Often in Old Testament poetry, the same idea gets repeated using slightly different words. And in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19, we read, "The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. The neediest people shall exult in the Holy One." So that's one aspect of the word meek. The millions and millions of people around the world born into poverty and with few chances to escape it. God sees them and God cares for them and has better things in store for them. Building on from that a little bit, it also has a meaning of those people who are subjected to victimization and injustice, often, of course, the same people. We heard in our Old Testament reading about the shoot from Jesse's stump on whom God's Spirit rests, words which we relate to Jesus and often read at Christmas carol services, deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. Those people who are usually denied justice will receive justice. Psalm 10 speaks of God hearing the desires of the meek and bringing justice to the orphan and the oppressed so that earthly powers will no longer terrorize them. So there's a couple of aspects of the word meek. Things to do with circumstances over which people have no choice. But there's also meanings which emphasize qualities which we are encouraged to cultivate in ourselves. And some of those meanings are about people who perhaps have no earthly power, but who cultivate an attitude of trust in God and openness to God. Psalm 37, from which Monique quoted at the beginning, is a wonderful psalm and really speaks into the situation we're in at the moment, I think, and has a contrast between the wicked who seem to have all the power and those who trust God, wait patiently and wait patiently for God, and refrain from anger. The former, the psalm goes on to say, in spite of all their plotting and all their threatening, will be cast out. You will search for them and find them gone. The latter are the ones who endure. Those who wait on the Lord shall possess the land. The meek shall possess the land. Another example of those repeated phrases, the meek, those who wait upon the Lord. Moving into the New Testament, there's a similar sentiment in the opening chapter of the letter of James, where he writes, "Be slow to anger, put away wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." If we are to receive what God wants to give us, we need to clear out what gets in the way and be open to God. It's one reason why we so often have a prayer of confession at the beginning of our worship, so we can set aside those things that are getting between us and God and turn our attention more fully to Him. Perhaps it's also helpful an image of that kind of meditative prayer of sitting, eyes closed, hands open, breathing out the bad things in our lives and breathing in the goodness of God, being open to God's Spirit, listening for what God may want to say to us. Moving on, meekness is a quality which Paul puts alongside other things in Colossians chapter 3, where he says, "Put on compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another and forgiving one another." It's also listed among the fruits of the Spirit, although often translated as gentleness, but it's that same word in the Greek. And last but not least, it's a quality used to describe Jesus himself. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 praises the meekness and gentleness of Christ, qualities which he recognises that he himself doesn't always exhibit. Now, of course, we rightly shy away from Victorian images of little Jesus meek and mild. He definitely wasn't always mild. But this quality of meekness, which we've been thinking about in all its fullness, is certainly a word used to describe Jesus. It's something that Matthew in particular seems to emphasize in his gospel. And there's several things that he includes that others among the gospel writers don't, that seem to make the point. Firstly, this line in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the meek," isn't there in the equivalent passage in Luke's gospel. Secondly, a well-loved passage, again found only in Matthew, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle." And the word there is the same as the word for meek. "I am meek," or gentle, "and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then when Matthew is describing how Jesus was preparing to enter Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as we'll remember in a couple of weeks' time, Matthew adds the comment, "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on an ass, even the foal of an ass.'" And that word "humble" is the same word again, often translated "meek," humble and meek. So that's just a smattering of the range of meaning that meek seems to have in the New Testament and in the Bible in general. It means the poorest and the neediest in the world. It means those who are the victims of injustice. But it also describes qualities we are encouraged to foster in ourselves, that openness to God, that trust in God, humility and gentleness that we should characterize in our dealings with others. So what does that all mean for us? Well, firstly, if God sees the poorest and the neediest and the victims of injustice, and his heart bleeds for them, so should we see that they are not forgotten and do something about it. I focused on blessed are the meek, but this links with the other beatitude that we have in mind this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which also means justice, for they shall be satisfied. It may be that we're in a position to take some practical action in the fight against poverty and injustice. And if we do, then we should. We may have opportunities to challenge the very negative rhetoric at present around those who are refugees and remind people that these are God's beloved children, often facing desperate circumstances through no fault of their own. Many people send Christmas cards through Amnesty International to political prisoners to remind them that they are not forgotten and that people are thinking about them and care about them. And of course, there's the opportunity to give financially to overseas aid charities or closer to home to organisations like Family Support Work and other local charities helping those in the greatest need. And I think this beatitude says to us, God has a particular concern for the neediest and for those who will never receive justice in this life. He has a special place for them in his kingdom, and we should demonstrate that in our words and our actions. But then we must think about that other aspect of what the word meek means, about those things which we can cultivate in our own lives. Being open to God and making space for God by clearing away some of the clutter from our lives. Trusting God, listening to God, and letting God guide us. In my ministry, I've come across lots of people who I know are much better at doing those things than I am, and I'm humbled by some of the faithful servants of God with that sense of trust and openness to God that I've come across, that I know pray for me and pray for all of us. So cultivating that sense in ourselves and the humility and gentleness that is definitely part of the character of Jesus. The meekness which encapsulates these qualities is not a weakness, it's a strength under control. Strong muscles are an advantage if we want to be truly gentle. If you want to do an intricate drawing, then strong muscles to really hold the pen or the pencil are an advantage. If you want to hold a baby so that they feel really safe and secure, then the strength that you have is an advantage. Gentleness and strength go together. Or for some other examples, you could think of Hagrid and his animals if you're a Harry Potter fan. Or Gandalf and the Hobbits in The Lord of the Rings. Or if Star Wars is your thing, Chewbacca and Han Solo. All creatures with great strength who know that there's a time and a place to be gentle. So we've thought about the range of those meanings. God's concern for the neediest of the world, but also the meekness that we should be trying to cultivate as a positive quality in our lives. So I'd just like to end with a brief prayer to offer those thoughts to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus. Help us to take them to heart in our lives today and to continue to reflect on them as we go about the coming week. We particularly think of those in the greatest poverty around the world. Those who are victims of injustice or imprisoned unjustly. Those who are finding themselves in the midst of conflict, not of their making. We pray for them and hold them before you. Blessed are the meek. And we also pray for ourselves. Help us to develop these qualities in our lives, to be more open to you, to trust in you, and to act with kindness, humility, and gentleness. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our example. Amen.